Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Edition of Free Talk Live. We are a live call-in radio program where you can call and talk about whatever is on your mind. The telephone number 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me,
Peakless Mountaineer, and Richie Rich.
Before we go on, you can learn...
Confuse me with the end.
You can learn about the awesome things happening in New Hampshire in our march towards liberty in our lifetime. And our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom victories, and they also have a couple of best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you're registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations, and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com. All right, so I was doing a little bit of 101 on language when it comes to finance, right? Mm-hmm. Because we start talking about economics, all this language comes up that most people are like, hey, what does that mean? So we've covered what an asset is, we've covered what a loan is, we've covered what leverage is. We talked about this a little bit off the air. I want to talk about how do you leverage something to your advantage? How do you, as a person who can't afford to buy a house, how do you make money in real estate without buying an actual house, right? Because most people are like, well, have you seen the price of houses? I mean, $400,000, I think, is the average now in the United States.
Going on it together.
There is something sort of newish. There is something sort of newish. Fractional real estate investing is a real thing now. I'm not advertising for this company. I do not use this company. I've only been monitoring them for a little over a year now, maybe a year and a half.
I will say I invented it in 2015.
That's fine.
Okay.
But they offer a fractional real estate investing product that you can get into for something like $500 or $600.
Nice. Mine would have been cheaper.
And the idea is that it's a whole bunch of, it's kind of like a crowdsource, right? A whole bunch of people get together, throw $500 at them. They go out and buy some sort of real estate, which they then turn around and rent. So it's usually an apartment building, something along those lines that they purchase. And then after the management fees and, you know, the mortgage and the taxes and all that stuff is paid, they divvy up whatever profits are left over at the end of the month out of their investments, and then give you the option. Would you like to take your profits? So let's say it was, yeah, I don't know, $50, right? You put in your $500 or $600, and they're like, hey, it's the end of this period, and you've made $60. Well, let's call it $50 for easy math. You've made $50. What do you want to do? Do you want us to put that in your bank account, or do you want to roll it over and increase the amount of money you've invested so that the next time there's a payout, you get a bigger chunk? So instead of $50, you might get $60 or something like that. So for the first time in human history that I'm aware of, fractional real estate investment is possible even for those who can't afford to buy a house.
So, it's been around since 2015.
So if you can get up enough money, right, pawn a guitar, you know, sell a power tool, I don't know. You know, I don't know how you're going to go about doing this, but if you can get up enough money, there are organizations like this one that I'm talking about. I'm not going to name them on air. I don't want to, give people free advertising, right? But you can go find them online where they do this fractional real estate investing, and you can benefit from it even though you can't afford to buy a house. Maybe you're saving up to buy a house, and you want to make that down payment even bigger. Maybe you only have $500 in the bank. Maybe you only have $1,000 in the bank. You can take a portion of that, put it into something like this, get yourself a passive income of $30 to $50 a month going on, and just keep stacking that until finally you have enough for your down payment.
And as I understand, you could use that fractionalized share as part of the collateral to make your down payment on your own house a little easier for you.
Yeah, you can also do creative things, like if you are working a Joe job and you have a 401k, you can actually roll money from your 401k into this fractional real estate type of organization. And then now your real estate investment is tax-free. So it's a very interesting concept that, you know, you just have to be smarter than the system to figure out how you're going to benefit from it, whether you're going to do it pre-tax or post-tax and that kind of a thing, right? Like, do your research before you jump into anything. Don't be like, Captain said a thing on air and I did it and I lost a bunch of money. Don't do that.
Smarter than the system is a dangerous game, man. The house always wins.
Yeah, but the house is also always bribing.
Okay.
So, I mean, no, that's why in general, home values go up, in spite of the fact that the homes themselves are slowly falling apart.
Yes.
Right. Because they're bribing their voter base. And if you can trust them to continue to bribe this voter base, then this is probably a good investment. But you never know. They might just be like, yeah, you know, our math tells us that this much of the boomers have died off, so we're just not going to keep this propped up any longer.
That was my biggest fear at the beginning of this current, I'm going to say, real estate bubble, was the value would go down, but go up in real dollars, right? Like you would lose purchasing power even though you got paid more for your house when you sold it later.
Yeah.
Right.
Because of the inflationary pressures pressed against, you know, the devaluation. It's like, oh, man, they're going to think they got away. You know, people who sell later.
Oh, what sucks is that you have to pay taxes on that anyway. Yeah. Not on the purchasing power, on the added dollars.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which were then worth less later.
Yeah. Now, just as a general heads up, I'd like to point out now, people might all be right about them lowering the Fed funds rate in March.
Yeah.
That seems to be what everyone's sort of pointing
to.
Hold on
to that thought. I just want to make a mention. The reason that I mentioned this fractionalized real estate type of investment is because Richie Rich posited the scenario where we're going to pretend that cryptocurrency doesn't exist. If I had $500... I would probably put it into cryptocurrency before I put it into real estate. But if, like, that's not your thing, right, this real estate option might be a good idea.
Well, and crypto's super volatile right now. So, like, depending on whether that spot ETF gets approval from the SEC or not, in January, like, real specifically, between the 5th and the 10th of January,
yeah,
this either will or will not happen. And if it does happen, then crypto's going to go to the moon. And if it doesn't happen, then down to Goblin Town, as they say.
And
so, like, good luck on that one. It's super volatile right now. Whereas after that point, after it either does or does not happen, well, then you only have to worry about the volatility of the entire market.
Let me be clear also, then the only reason I put that hypothetical out there is because I'm not convinced that a lot of people who are in the stock market are at the level where they're considering cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to take that out of the equation,
yeah,
on what to do if you're in the stock market, right? Again, the presumption is that this is the value of the companies that you're invested in.
Yeah.
And the stock crashes, like Apple's going to make the same amount of phones they did yesterday, right? Budweiser's going to produce the same amount of beer as they did yesterday,
right?
But their valuation is like 50% less all of a sudden. That to me makes no sense. But if you're going to sell and you're going to go into dollars, because that's what selling means, like you're getting more dollars, And you know that the dollar is going down through to, inflation, and who knows about hyperinflation. It's, that doesn't seem wise. So they have to go somewhere, and I just want, and they're not going into crypto necessarily. So where else would you go? And you guys said gold and metals and other things,
right? And that's how real estate came into play.
Here's the thing. So let's take crypto out of the equation here for a second.
Okay.
So I'm convinced that some crazy nonsense is going to happen, specifically in March of next year. So you've got this thing called the reverse repo rate, which is basically banks putting their money in a bank.
Okay.
Only it's a super bank, so that you actually get a decent return off it. So that is drawing down to zero in about March. You've got household savings, which is also drawing down to about zero in about March, somewhere between January and April. You've got the bank term funding program, which was the only way they stopped the handful of banks collapsing just an absolute swath of banks. Now, that comes up for, like, in theory, ending in March. And the Fed is in kind of a rock and a hard place there, because either they take their 1 year temporary emergency program and make it not an emergency program, which, you know, makes everyone kind of lose faith in the dollar, or they let a whole bunch of banks go under by letting this temporary program end.
Reason to want to be back in the dollar.
And that's on the 11th of March.
When is the I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's all of the real estate that was previously leased to, like, office space and all that.
Yeah, all the commercial real estate.
Is that March as well?
That one's way more complicated. There's not just this, like, giant single lump that is set for that.
Okay.
It's kind of spread out over a term. So, I don't know.
Okay, all right. I had it in the back of my head that there was something about that also... You know, come and do in March.
Where
people are going to have to make a decision, like, no, I no longer want to lease this, and now all of a sudden there's going to be a bunch of empty real estate that's not leased, which means people aren't going to be able to pay their mortgages on the buildings because they don't have enough renters to pay it, and so that'll add to the credit crisis.
Yeah.
One thing I can say to really everybody, my opinion is that do not save in dollars.
I would ordinarily be with you on that. I think that we are in extraordinary times.
I agree. Which
and
is
at
why
this
I'm
particular moment,
that.
I would absolutely say, as is very unusual, you should actually save in dollars.
I would rather for
this very specific window of until we see what happens in March.
Like it's the holiday season's coming up, right? Let's say some relative sent me $1,000. Right, for Christmas. That's never going to happen. But let's just say it happened. I would much rather take that $1,000 and put it into an electric guitar than I would to sit on it, put it in a bank, and save it, quote unquote. I'd much rather put that $1,000, I know we're pretending that cryptocurrency doesn't, but I'd put it there. I'd much rather put that $1,000 into gold backs, into gold coins, silver coins, something other than dollars, because the dollar has lost over 99% of its value.
But it does so slowly. And that's the thing. If you put your money in something that's going to lose,
it's faster than ever right now.
I think Peakless is more concerned with volatility.
Right. So
that's why I favor the hard asset.
So like let's say
gold is volatile as well.
Well, right. So okay, let's say that you've got your $500 from Christmas and you put it into that fractionalized
real estate,
right? So now you've got a little fraction of real estate instead of your $500.
And it's paying me, $20 a month or whatever.
Right.
And passive income.
And then let's say we have a 2008 occurrence, so that real estate is now worth crap, and you're not getting your rent paid.
Or your $500, in order to sell that asset, that fractional asset, you can only get $200 for it.
Right. So that's a bad situation to be in.
Sure.
Whereas if you'd held on to your $500, wait until this happens, and then you buy your fractional share, you could have gotten two of them.
Right, but you're playing a big game of what if at that point.
Well, that's why you guys are giving different advice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of them is more likely to occur than the other, and one of them is more risk-averse than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's why I'm a big fan of half.
Okay.
So, like, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. So, okay, so I've got this, you know, investable amount of whatever it is.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, I'm concerned that something's going to happen in March that makes things really cheap for me to buy stocks or crypto or gold or whatever. Well, I'll go ahead and put half in now because at the moment prices are going up. So I'll get in before the prices go up because I could be wrong.
Okay.
And I'll keep the other half.
Well, okay, but like,
and put that in.
I want to break even at the end.
I'm attempting, at least in my mind, attempting to sort of cater my conversation to the poor. Right?
Yeah.
Now, I know poor people who, you know, minimum wage job, burger flippers, whatever you want to call them, who, you know, they get like their income tax return every year, or maybe they
look forward to it.
Maybe they get a little bonus at the end of the year. Their employer is like, hey, there's an extra $100 on your check. Thanks a lot. Right? Yeah. That kind of a thing. Like, the habits of the poor are such that they rarely get anything that gets them ahead of the curve, and so because they rarely get it, they do things, and I've seen this in action. They'll blow it all on pull tabs. I don't know if you know what pull tabs are, but you go to the bar.
Are you talking like scratch tickets?
It's kind of like that. You go to the bar, and it's like three tabs on a card. You open them up, and if it's got a line through it, you win whatever the prize is at the end of that thing.
So they're gambling.
So they're gambling, yes. Right. It's a gambling game that you play. Or they will go buy scratch tickets. They will buy several lottery tickets, right? They will put that money somewhere far more risky than something like real estate or something like gold or something like property, you know, something like a tangible asset like a guitar or something rare.
Well, I would say that those people are poor by choice then, right? Not necessarily by circumstance. They could do things. They have the capability to do things
I don't know
with
that,
their money.
I don't know that most of these people have the knowledge.
Okay.
I don't know that they don't, but I don't know that they do.
Okay.
Right? You know, for the folks that I know that are in, we'll call it a poverty-like situation, you know, I do what I can to help educate them and give them some advice when I can, if they ask. But I'm also not going out and evangelizing. I'm not going out and being like, dude, you suck, you're dumb, you don't know what to do. Right? Like, I'm not talking down
to
people.
You're poor.
Right?
Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it is. Yes.
Well, it's
but if they show any,
partly your fault.
If they show any interest.
Responsibility
in attempting to get themselves out, I know a guy who
don't buy scratchers.
Recently had a kid, and so it changed his perspective on life. Right,
mm-hmm.
But he's like, oh man, I got to start thinking different. I got a kid now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally what I'd do with my tax return is go blow it at the bar and buy a bunch of lottery tickets, and you know, blah blah blah. Right, go to the casino, and maybe I'd make out, maybe I wouldn't. Whatever. He's like, but now I got to think about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and like, how do I take
poor is expensive.
Right. And how do I like for the poor, really, the big question is how do I take whatever little bit of money I eventually get somehow, some way? Maybe it's because I get paid by the week and this month I get the quote unquote extra paycheck.
Yeah.
That's not dedicated to a thing because the four paychecks paid for my rent and whatever, or it's the tax return, or it's some sort of a bonus, or they earned a commission somehow. You know, that these are the kinds of things I'm talking about. How does a poor person take some little quantity of money and make that money make money for them?
Not by leaving it in the bank.
Yeah.
Bingo.
But the riskier the proposition, the bigger chance you have of making that a lot of money comes with the greater risk of losing it.
Right. So like you win the lottery, you're pulled. Yeah. Like all of those. Really high reward, extremely low probability.
Yeah.
So I run into this with crypto when you're looking at different kinds of cryptocurrencies. So like if you put
that in ICOs.
Yeah. Like if you put that in Bitcoin, you know it's not going to zero. It has the lowest probability of going to zero.
Right.
But you also know it's not going to suddenly be worth 1,000 times what it's worth now, tomorrow.
That train has passed.
Right.
The people that got on that train early and got their 10,000-fold returns,
right.
Like we're unlikely to see that in the modern cycle.
If you see that, you have more things to worry about because it means the dollar has poofed.
Which is likely as well.
Right.
Poof.
Right. Now,
and it's gone.
Now, a new meme coin with a dog on it. Well, I mean, that might very much have as much value as your scratch ticket. but it also might 100x. So you might, you know, put $10 in that, and suddenly you've got $1,000.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend about this years ago when it was almost at its minimum. Like, and he pulled up the chart and he goes, like, look at this. You know, Dogecoin was like 0.000003. And he's like, you know, and as he's showing me this, he's like, I'm going to invest right now. I'm going to put some money in right now. I'm like, why? He goes, well, because the downside risk is almost nothing,
mm-hmm.
because it can only go down like two more decimal points.
right.
But wow. The upside, like if it ever does swing back into cycle, and it did with Elon, right, it was like a whole dollar.
Right.
And so if you put like $100 in at like 0.00003,
right,
and all of a sudden it's a dollar, well, you've made out like a bandit.
Yeah.
So
if Doge ever hits one penny, I'll be a wealthy man.
Okay.
I don't think it's ever going to, but who am I to say?
You got in after the dollar spike? Because it did go up to a dollar.
I did. All right. Yeah. And I only did it because I was trying to get another friend of mine into crypto.
Okay.
And, of course, at that moment, all the press was Doge.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, dude, I threw like $100 at Doge. I know it's only worth 0.0001, whatever the hell it was at the time.
Well, it's actually worth almost 10 cents now, so.
I'm like.
You mean if it's worth a dollar?
No, I'm sorry, not Doge, Shiba Inu.
Oh, Shiba Inu, yeah.
So he threw $100 at Shiba Inu. Sorry, it wasn't Doge, it was Shiba.
Whatever.
So he threw $100 at it because that's, you know, I was like, do your research. He's like, no, I'm getting Shiba Inu. He didn't do any research. Well, I'm like, okay, you know what? Just to play along, I'll throw $100 at Shiba Inu as well. And that way he and I can communicate about the markets. You know, is it going up? Is it going down? What's Shiba Inu up to? You know, do we, what do we call it? Speculates, right, on what
it's
it might do. Right? You know, can we, you know, maybe at some point he'll want to learn how to transduce Shiba Inu.
But if you got $100 to spend.
Or something like that.
Yeah. If you have $100, you're like, I can set this on fire. Like, I care so little about this $100 bill. Then you can speculate on any number of the, you know, the new coin offerings, the initial coin, or any other crypto that comes along that they're pumping and dumping.
I did it because I consider this particular person a brother of mine, right?
Sure.
You know, and I want to, you know, help educate him on how cryptocurrency works, how wallets work, how speculation works, and all that kind of stuff.
If you're poor, right, and you can't afford to burn that, maybe you don't speculate on those types of crypto.
Yeah, if I was poor and trying to, like, get out of that with this, I'd be farming airdrops. Like, you can take tiny, tiny amounts of money, move it around, and sometimes they will just drop these coins on you. You can sell, I would again say half, and suddenly you've got something that might go up, and you've got some actual money.
603-283-6160. How do poor people create wealth? If you've got an answer to that, give us a call. We've got more Free Talk Live coming up.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
USA News Update. Tesla is recalling nearly 2 million electric vehicles due to safety concerns tied to its auto steer feature.
A forthcoming software update will enhance warnings for drivers and enable the automated feature to disengage when the vehicle is not on the road or if the driver is not sufficiently attentive. The Traffic Safety Administration initiated an investigation in 2021 following nearly a dozen reported incidents. I'm Dave Collins.
The Biden administration is unveiling its offshore drilling plan for the next 5 years. According to the Interior Department, 3 leases for drilling in U.S. waters are scheduled between 2024 and 2029.
The American Petroleum Institute criticized the plan, stating that it fails to meet the energy needs of the American people. Environmental groups also expressed concern, asserting that the dangerous cycle of drilling and spilling must end. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. It is the final segment already.
Wow.
The show has gone by rather quickly of the Saturday night edition of Free Talk Live. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
And? Pickles Mountaineer.
And?
Richard Rich.
We're all like jumping the ends here. That's very nice.
I was just waiting to see if you wanted to go second this time.
No. Okay. I'm fine with the rotation, but... Usually you don't say and then
I like to keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said and before him.
This time I did. Was payback right. For the last time.
Ah, I see. All right. So now it's all even?
Even Steven.
Half. This hour of Free Talk Live has been brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees, of course, have made Bitcoin rather useless for purchases. But Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a tech standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and it's in multi-crypto wallets as well. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. All right. We've been talking a whole bunch about economy.
Speaking of ways for poor people to become rich with just a little investment.
Yeah, let's unpretend. Like, okay, come back to reality. Cryptocurrency does exist.
Yeah.
If I'm a young person, like, I don't even have a bank account at this point.
right? My parents, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm 10, 12 years old, something along those lines. And, like, I'm starting to figure out that you need money to get by in the world,
mm-hmm.
right? How do you hustle as a kid right now? Well, I think, Richie Rich, during the break, you were talking about you had a box of some candy.
Oh, yeah. This was a negative experience for me because I had a box of candy that I sold parts of it in school to make some money because, you know, kids want candy, and I had some, and I also like money more than I liked the candy at the time.
Yep.
So I sold the candy, and then made, you know, a couple bucks off of a box of Pocky.
Okay.
And then my dad stole the money from me because I'm not allowed to sell it, apparently.
Right. So
just
if you
like the government,
but taxed at 100%.
Well, you didn't have a license to sell that candy.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're just starting out in life, you know, maybe you have a job, maybe you don't. I don't know. But hustle is one of the, I don't know, man, it's like a tenet of life, for me anyway. Like, you got to figure out how to hustle up some money when you need it. Now, if you're living at home with your parents, that's great. Continue to do so for as long as you can, as long as you financially can stand it, and of course, personally can stand it, because that will allow you to save
walls
more.
Walls are thin, man.
But, you know, don't just rely on the job to get you by. You have to do things outside the job. You have to hustle. Right? Side gigs, side work, make something, make art, I don't know, do something, sell a service, a product, mow a lawn, snow blow a driveway, shovel a driveway for somebody, all of these kinds of things. This is hustle. You can take a very small amount of money these days, particularly with cryptocurrency, and do okay.
I respect that answer,
yes.
That suggestion, that advice. We shouldn't have to, man. Like, if they didn't devalue the dollar, we could still get away with just working our normal job, having more leisure time, not having to focus our mental energy of what should be recuperating from whatever job we have into doing more work.
Yeah, like you were teasing a story about the American dream, right? And a lot of what that comes down to for a lot of people is the idea that if you work hard, you can get ahead. And, you know, some people believe that used to be true, but isn't true now. And a lot of what would make that true...
If we work smart.
Well, if we weren't being stolen from every moment of every day by money printing, then it would be possible for honest, hard work
you would certainly
to get
earn
you
more.
Ahead.
Yes, you would certainly earn more and get ahead faster than you would be able to today.
But
absolutely, 100%.
But we live in the absolute peak of human thievery. Throughout the world, everyone on Earth is the constant victim of at least one set of thieves.
Yep.
Every moment of every day. It's the golden age of thievery. So, you have to protect yourself with the new technology that has come out to shield yourself from thievery.
Yeah. So you guys are talking about what if. I'm talking about what is.
Yeah, right? what is we live in a world
what
with
is,
cryptocurrency.
We live in a world with crypto. We live in a world where, yes, we are at peak thievery. And so the only way for you to get ahead is to hustle. And I'm specifically saying hustle outside the system.
Yeah. And
cash jobs, have a rummage sale, put stuff up on Craigslist for cash or crypto, right? Because Craigslist has that ability. You can put something on Craigslist and go cryptocurrency, okay.
That mm-hmm. also presumes you have assets.
Well, right. Everyone has assets of some kind. And if you don't, you can make an asset.
Okay.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to be creative to hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have to. It's just, it's what is right now. It shouldn't be, I agree with you, but it's just what is. If you want to get ahead, you want to get out of your poverty state, you have to hustle.
Yeah. Well, then the unfortunate thing with what is you have, I'm going to call them the generation, right? The Generation Z, whatever, that
pick,
age.
Pick a generation, sure.
Well, within that age group. Like, I'm not talking about boomers and Gen Xers or whatever.
Then announce the age group instead of the label.
Well,
like, age what to what?
Teens to mid-20s, maybe even 30s.
Okay, so 15 to 30?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Like, that age group is at a point where they look around and they know they're in a bad situation.
Yep.
Right. What am I to do? And one of the easiest options presented to them is... vote for this guy and we'll give you some of the rich people's money. And they want the free stuff. Like, I want free health care. right? I want universal basic income.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to struggle to go work for some guy, right, who's, even though he pays me the same as he did yesterday, is worth less today. Like, they don't want it. And I agree with them that they shouldn't want it. Why would you do yesterday? Why would you do yesterday's work today for less money?
Yeah.
Right. Why would you do that? But the option presented to them is not hustle, because you're getting the same worthless dollars even if you hustle. So tomorrow you got to hustle twice as hard.
Right, but you're missing out on what I'm saying. I'm saying hustle and then take your dollars and put it into something other than dollars.
Sure. That takes a little bit of effort and time and knowledge and whatever.
Creativity.
Sure. But the easier option presented to them is just vote differently and we'll give you the stuff for free.
Yeah, well, that hasn't worked out for anybody, has it?
Depends where you are. Again, if you're on that bottom level of the scale, and I mentioned, you know, I'm not going to mention names because I don't have names, but the example given during the break, right, is there is a person that I am aware of who gets $3,500 a month by the state just because she has some kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And no job, no productive value, but survivable income, generally, at least here in New Hampshire, survivable income with no productivity.
Well,
and why would you not choose that?
And consider the paradise that is California. Now, these people voted for elected representatives that would give them free stuff. And, you know, eventually it accumulated to the point where they can now just walk into any shop, steal as much as they want, as long as it's less than $950 total, and just walk out. And they know that they will be safe. So, like, they can get as much free stuff as they want.
So why not do that?
It worked. It worked. Electing people to give them free stuff was very effective.
It's not free stuff.
Well, it's free to them.
It's stolen.
Yes. That's how free to them works.
I understand. And I don't really want to table this discussion, but I did mention before we went to break that there is a story about medical records that I wanted to get to.
So tabling discussion, even though he doesn't want to.
So we are for a minute. I just want to make, this is from ArsTechnica.com. CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens hand out medical records to cops without warrants.
All right.
Now, some folks out there are thinking that, you know, like HIPAA, you know, there's some laws about medical privacy. Why are these people handing out, you know, medical records to law enforcement?
Well, you see, there's a deity, and that deity has chosen the police to... Oh, wait, sorry. Wrong religion.
All of the big pharmacy chains in the U.S. hand over sensitive medical records to law enforcement without a warrant. And some will do so without even running the request by a legal professional, according to a congressional investigation. The revelation raises grave medical privacy concerns, particularly in a post-Dobbs era, in which many states are working to criminalize reproductive health care. Even if people in states with restrictive laws cross state lines for care, pharmacists in massive chains such as CVS can access records across borders.
So this is like the morning after pill.
There's a little bit of that. Yeah, you're thinking. Lawmakers noted the pharmacy's policies for releasing medical records in a letter dated Tuesday to the Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary Xavier Becerra. The letter was signed by some reps from, you know, different states, said their investigation pulled information from briefings with 8 big prescription drug suppliers. They include the 7 largest pharmacy chains in the country, CVS, Walgreens, Boots Alliance, Cigna, OptumRx, Walmart Stores, the Kroger Company, and Rite Aid. The lawmakers also spoke with Amazon Pharmacy. All 8 of the pharmacies said they do not require law enforcement to have a warrant prior to sharing private and sensitive medical records, which can include prescription drugs a person used or uses and their medical conditions. Instead, all the pharmacies hand over such information with nothing more than a subpoena, which can be issued by government agencies and does not require review or approval by judge.
Okay.
That's despicable.
Yeah, but what are they going after? Like, what cause does the police or whomever have to even inquire?
Like,
are they investigating?
Because they feel like it.
Yeah.
Then they could just get the whole database and just get access to the whole database. They can look at whatever they want, just integrate it in with the police system.
When you put your private data into a private entity, you should, in my opinion, have some sort of expectation of privacy.
I mean, maybe. I went to a dispensary in California and waited outside because I'm like, I'm not giving them my ID and going into, like, that database.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is why they do the end-user license agreement, right? Is so that it's very clear whether or not...
Yeah.
Yeah, or like, yes, I agree to the terms and conditions, wherein, which, you know, of course you never read, but it is spelled out whether or not they're going to be selling your information or just handing it away.
Three.
So then when they make this agreement, and then they violate it because the cop said so... When they're not legally required to do that, it's definitely a breach of trust.
Yeah. Three of the pharmacies, CVS Health, the Kroger Company, and Rite Aid, told lawmakers they didn't even require their pharmacy staff to consult legal professionals before responding to law enforcement requests at a pharmacy counter. According to the lawmakers, CVS, Kroger, and Rite Aid said their pharmacy staff face extreme pressure to immediately respond to law enforcement demands, and as such, the companies instruct their staff to process those requests in-store. The rest of the pharmacies at least require that law enforcement requests be reviewed by some sort of legal professional, maybe an internal attorney or something like that, before pharmacists respond. But only Amazon said it had a policy of notifying customers that law enforcement had demanded the pharmacy records unless there were legal prohibitions to doing so, such as a gag order.
So, again, we got to get into the minutia a little bit, because they said, we'll give it away without a warrant. But you also said that they were provided a subpoena.
Well, some were, some weren't. Some of them specifically said there, no, if the cop walks up to the counter and asks for this person's private medical details.
So this is the same as when I first went to work at a, let's call it a gas station, a convenience store gas station kind of thing. They were a chain. And so they had training on, maybe you guys have had this if you've ever worked like fast food or something like that in a city, they have training on what to do if you get robbed, right? Somebody comes in, points a gun in your face, give me the money, you know, whatever, that kind of a thing. Basically, just go ahead and do it. Like, that's the training. The training is somebody comes in with a gun, points it at your face, says, give me the money, you go ahead, you give them some money, right? That's basically the training, right?
Yep.
This is the exact same training, only now it's pointed at law enforcement. So if law enforcement comes in, and of course they have a badge and a gun, right? They're like, yeah, go ahead, give them whatever. We don't care. That's the training here. There's no, there's not even a hint, not even a whisper of, like, they give a crap about your information in any way, shape, or form.
Well, if this was a violation of HIPAA, someone would be able to bring suit.
It is, and they do.
Even if it's not, they still should, like, no, I'm sorry, this is private information.
Understood.
You know, please present me or something. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you're also talking about a cashier who doesn't care about your medical records, right? The cop comes in.
Correct.
They're not going to stand on principle to protect some random person in their computer system.
Right.
Right. Why would they? Go ahead.
And look at the perspective of the pharmacy company, right?
Sure.
So, you know, you're Rite Aid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You have the option of, you can either risk the ire of the police, which means they might bring you up on obstruction charges. Of course they're absurd and incredibly unjust, but they might do it anyway.
And risk the ire of the consumer?
Right. Right. You might have a consumer who is so irritated that you told someone about his erectile dysfunction that he does, in fact, bring you to court for HIPAA. Probably a lower probability, and probably a better chance that you'll win the case. And you'll pay less.
Okay. Well, so then it's
how much are you going to lose when it hits the papers that you're being brought up for obstruction of justice?
Well, and you listed like the big eight competitors. Where else are you going to go?
Right.
Right. You're going to find the local mom and pop pharmacy and, you know, rely on them. They might be more privacy oriented, but they're less likely to have what you need when you need it, depending on what your prescription looks like.
Yeah.
Less likely to get it from the bigger manufacturers.
Now,
and this is why you should always get your drugs from the independent dealers.
Drugs. So this only highlights the horrors of statism. And I say that because the biggest threat you have to your personal medical information is not from some unscrupulous guy, right, trying to hack into a database and, you know, grab what information. No, right. It's from law enforcement itself or somebody, you know, in some government agency, mm-hmm. right? And these pharmacies are all basically agreeing that, like, well, if it comes to law enforcement, we're just going to bend over and hand over your information.
I mean, name a company that doesn't, though.
I can't. However, comma, they should. And, okay. and that's the point. The biggest threat to your medical privacy is not from some unscrupulous scammer. It's from some unscrupulous government organization.
Yeah. And how many times have we covered stories where different government agents use their power for some personal vendetta? Happens all the time. Mm. So all of these concerns about, like, oh, some hacker might get it. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
But you are
far less likely that a hacker get your information and use it for some nefarious activity. Far more likely that a government organization gets your information and uses it for a nefarious activity.
There's not a lot of companies that are going to protect you against the government when it comes to the privacy of your information.
Yeah. I once went to, this is out on the West Coast. I won't name the name of the place, but it's one of these movie theaters where it serves alcohol. So it's a 21 plus place. My favorite place to go and see a movie because the worst thing.
No kids allowed.
Yeah, there's like, especially you're going to see like a Marvel movie or something where like, you know, kids are going to be naturally drawn to that. Like, I don't want a bunch of, you know, crying, whining kids, you know, while I'm watching my movie. So I go to the 21 plus place because not only can I watch it with a bunch of adults, but like I can have a beer. Mm-hmm. So, I go and I order a pitcher of beer for myself. Because the movie is almost 3 hours long. There's no intermission.
Seems like a lot of bathroom breaks.
And, like, I mean, I can do without that. Like, okay. I have a pretty good bladder, right? Like, but I also didn't want to bother the waitress. They have this little system at this place where if you're out of beer or you need something during the movie, you press a little button, and it lights this little light underneath the table in front of you. And so the wait people are standing in back, and once they see a light go on, they kind of run down. They duck down so as not to interfere with the other patrons viewing of the movie. But they kind of do because it's movement, and movement attracts the eye. And so I didn't want any of that. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to order enough beer for me to get through this movie. And, you know, I'll be done with it, right? I order my sandwich and, you know, that kind of thing, right? So I do that, and the lady goes, oh, I'm sorry, I can't serve you a pitcher of beer. And I'm like, why not? That guy over there just got a pitcher of beer by himself. And she's like, well, it's because you're by yourself. And I'm like, again, this guy over here got a pitcher of beer. He's by himself. She's like, well, I didn't serve him. And I'm like, well, why is it okay for him to get one and not me? And she finally, you know, cops to the fact that, like, she's like, well, yesterday I had somebody come in and order a pitcher of beer for himself and a sandwich, and they left without paying their bill.
Okay.
And I'm like, so you're punishing me for the actions of somebody else?
A lot of times that's how it works, man.
And she's like...
Policies get implemented after companies...
She's like, well, I'm just not going to do it. And I'm like, can I... You know, I pulled a Karen. I'm like, can I talk to the manager, please? And she's like, okay, but, you know, do you want your order? I'm like, I tell you what. Just bring me an iced tea and my sandwich. And she's like, okay, I'll go get the manager. And she was upset, obviously. The manager comes down, and he starts talking to me, and the movie starts going. I don't want to be a dick, so I'm like, come on, let's you know, exit the theater, right? So I start talking to the guy. And he's like, well, it's our policy, right? And I'm like, can I see a copy of it? And he's like, well, we don't actually have it written down. And I'm like, come on, man. I've been a manager before. If you're going to have a policy, you want to enforce that policy with your employees. It's important for you to write it down so that all of your employees can see it. And they can go, oh, yes, this is the policy. We will follow this policy. I see it here.
Would you have acquiesced if they had a sign that said, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone?
They weren't refusing service. They were just refusing a quantity of service, a subset of service. I didn't see a sign of that, but my point isn't that. I probably would have acquiesced
you know, at some point. But, like, for whatever reason, I was on that day with my argumentation, my debating skill, whatever it was. Maybe I was just overly personal. Maybe I was baked. I don't remember. But it turns out that what happened is somebody, a law enforcement person, came through and, you know, sort of walked through the theater and saw, you know, what was going on, whatever, and told this particular assistant manager that they couldn't serve full pitchers of beer to single patrons.
Okay.
Right? And I was like, okay. And this guy said, he said, it's a law. And I'm like, okay. Did he show you the law? He's like, no. You don't understand. They come in, they just flash badges, and we do whatever they say.
Yep.
And I'm like, ah.
Sounds about right.
Ah, so there we are. And I'm like, so if I go online right now and I look up Washington State law and I find that there is no law, will you comp my ticket? Because I've already missed the beginning of my movie. I've missed out on my sandwich because, you know, you're giving different treatment to different customers here. And he's like, sure. And so I'm like, okay, well, come here, let me look it up. Hey, I don't find anything then. You know, he's like, look, man, you make a great debate, and you've been way more, like, personable than, like, any other. Like, I'm not being a Karen, right? I'm not yelling at him. I'm not, you know, I'm just being logical. I'm debating the man about what he's done and what his policies are and that kind of a stuff. And he saw my point. He saw, and he comped my, he was like.
Well, you don't understand, Captain. These are gods and angels, and you are a mere mortal.
That's my point. My
point
is,
shut him down.
My point is that he flashed the badge, and he's got a gun, and so the McManager's going to do whatever the hell he says because he's got the gun. In the back.
Yeah.
That's the way the world really works, people.
Yeah. And even if there was HIPAA 2, where it's illegal to even ask for it without a warrant, there's no chance that any of these cops would face anything for doing so.
We are out of time. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Peoples Mountaineer. Thank you to our callers and all our listeners. If you missed any part of our program, please visit freetalklive.com and view the archives. Thanks and peace.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.